you're so far past the line that you can't even see the line. The line is a dot to you.
And now, broadcasting live from the Elevation 5280 Sports Studios in Denver, Colorado, this is Crossing the Line with Jesse Rosales and Keith Richards.
I appreciate you put the middle name in there just so it's not Keith Richards.
Well, I didn't even want to think that I was way more popular than I am, and I had the actual Keith Richards on here. So
I mean, I hope I'm better than Keith Richards in his old age. And
yeah, I'm kind of surprised he's not dead, so I definitely think you'll
Tiger
be a better,
blood, man, that Tiger blood.
You'll be a better co-host than him for sure.
Now, Jesse and Keith are on.
All right, what is up? Welcome to another weekly edition of Crossing the Line here on Elevation 5280sports.com and lastwordonsports.com. Keith, it's been a while, man.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks off. It's kind of weird.
Feels like a month.
Yeah, it was only 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, I guess it's not too bad. We are officially into the MLB season, which is good.
A lot of stuff
to talk about there.
2% into the MLB season.
Yeah. NBA, NHL season's wrapping up. Moving along nicely there. Getting ready for the French Open here at the end of June. So still a little bit of ways for that. But the clay season has started in tennis, which is always exciting stuff.
It's a good chance for Rafa to feel like he's still important.
Yeah, I mean, he won the Monte Carlo tournament, which we weren't going to talk about, but just real quick,
Not surprising at all.
I mean, really. He won against no-name, unranked players.
Because Djokovic lost again.
He lost again. Federer didn't play, I don't believe. I don't know what happened to Murray. But yeah, the final was against, unranked player, so it would have been a shock if he did lose.
Yeah, especially on clay. I can see him losing like on grass or hard court, but not on clay.
Saw you went to the Rockies game yesterday.
Did. They crushed.
They did.
8-0.
And they crushed the night before that.
They did. 12-3. We'll get into that later.
We will get into that, but good stuff there from the Rockies. Seemed like it was good weather, though. A little warm, maybe?
It was warm, mainly because the sun is, like, beaming on you in those plastic seats. But otherwise, it was good weather for baseball.
There you go. Looked like the stadium was pretty packed, so that's always good.
Yeah, better than last time.
Saw a lot of Facebook posts with a lot of people there, so I'm sure the Monfort's like that.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy when we were there 2 weeks ago.
No, a little different story. But to get into the recap stuff, Keith, let's get into the MLB and some news about, speaking of the Giants, who the Rockies swept, Madison Bumgarner.
Mad Bum. He's going to be out as much as 6 weeks after he hurt himself in a dirt bike accident during the season.
Yeah.
They're already in last place. They got swept by the Rockies. It almost kind of feels like their season is over already.
It's when you get up to that rough of a start, it's hard to come back. What's interesting about this is, like, how committed is he really to the season? Like, I know it's a long season, but, like,
I don't care, like, how long the season is. Like, you can't be dirt biking during the season. You got, like, what, 4 months in the off season to do that?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. I don't get it. But there you go. So.
But they're not going to punish him. I think they should. I mean,
I think the team should
punish him. I mean, there can't be no consequence to that. I mean, you could say him getting hurt is a consequence, but that's his own fault. There still needs to be consequence on top of that, I think.
This is probably another example of the MLB Players Association running the league.
Yeah, because they probably,
you know, those contracts are super player friendly.
Of someone being punished, and they should probably shut it down real quick.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, interesting for the Giants there. That's obviously their ace. So we'll see how that affects them in the long term. But I mean, 6 weeks is substantial.
That's what you figure he may start two times in 7 days. So that's 14 starts right there, maybe.
A lot of starts.
12 starts.
Yeah.
So that could be 12 losses that they have right there.
Right. Right. That's a big deal. Looking at the standings, Keith, in the, especially in the National League, the Cubbies having a rough start.
They are. I mean, which in normal circumstances, 10-8 for most people would be a good start, but they haven't looked good in that 10-8 start. I mean, they're only a half game ahead of the Reds, and they're 2 games ahead of last place in the NL Central. It almost seems like they're having kind of a World Series hangover.
Yeah, could happen. I mean, most of that team is returning.
Yeah, a lot of them. I mean, the only player they really lost was Dexter Fowler, I think.
Some pitchers,
which their rotation was deep, but that kind of is the issue. Maybe their rotation wasn't as deep as everyone thought it was.
Maybe. Interesting to see how that one will play out. What about your Cardinals?
They started off terribly, not going to lie. But they just swept the Brewers, I believe, and now they're up to 9-10 on the year, so they're catching up.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Looking good there. But not as good, Keith, as the Colorado Rockies.
The first place Colorado Rockies.
Yes, absolutely. And potentially soon to be first in the National League. Colorado
Very well Rockies. Could be.
We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, but for the recap section, Keith, talk about a run with the Rockies. Now, granted, most of it has been divisional series.
Which
those are the ones you have to win.
Yeah.
But you could argue that the division is underperforming as a whole right now.
Well, the division is definitely underperforming, but it's about time they got some of that luck.
Yep. Two big blowout wins against the Giants in the last 2 games. The bats are back. Everyone's feeling good about that. The pitching staff is, quote, rock solid.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Chatwood had a great game after Monfort yelled at him when we were there.
Yeah.
Freeland had a great game on Sunday. Pitched seven strong innings.
A lot of saves from the bullpen.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, it's looking great. I think that for the Rockies, again, the goal is to, and for any team really, but it's to win as many series as you can. And so far they've been able to do that. Now they have an opportunity to do that against two of the best teams in the National League with Washington and Arizona coming up. Time to really find out what the Rockies are made out of.
Yeah, I mean, they've only lost one series so far this year. That was against the Padres. Otherwise, they've tied or won every single series.
Exactly.
So
if you can keep doing that, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and really, it's not about the bats. The bats are going to be there.
Yep.
Like, I wasn't really too concerned about the bats. It's the pitching.
And
like,
the
how
pitching
good
is
the pitching going to be throughout the whole season?
As long as they can stay away from the injuries.
Yeah, it started off great. If it stays even 90% of what it has been so far this season, they've got a good shot to win a division and maybe even make a deep playoff run.
Never know. Never know with these things. Moving over to the NHL, Keith, we're pretty much done with round one. We got a couple series still wrapping up, but what I thought was really interesting about the first round was how many series were over quickly. You had the Rangers beating Montreal 4-2, Ottawa beating the Bruins 4-2, Penguins over the Blue Jackets 4-1, St. Louis 4-1, Ducks 4-0, and the Oilers 4-2. So, you know, some pretty lopsided series, although the top seed was not always the one doing the beating.
No, so, not necessarily.
You have a lot of good teams have been eliminated. So
yeah.
There, so we'll see what happens with that. You had an interesting series with Washington and Toronto. Toronto is a very good but very young team, and they gave Washington a scare at first. Early on in the series, they had the first 3 games go to overtime, Keith. In fact, five of the 6 games went to overtime in this series.
Yeah, and that, like, made up of a big majority of. I think he has seventeen overtime games in the first round.
Just nuts. So the series really could have gone either way, which would have been really bad for Ovechkin. We talked about what this would have meant for his legacy and all that, and luckily it didn't have to turn out that way.
Even still, I think it's a bad look for them. They kind of struggled with this super young team, and they, again, in a situation where they won the President's Trophy, they were supposed to be the best team in the league come playoffs. They just don't look like it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to give Toronto some credit. For as young as they are, they did show a lot of fight, obviously taking them to overtime in pretty much every game. But yeah, I think Washington, they, especially going into the next round, they really have to turn this around and build some confidence, I think. Because right now, I don't think they have a whole lot of it.
No, I mean, they had to assert their dominance over... I mean, they played them hard. You can't deny them that, but... When you're the better team, you have to play and show them you're the better team.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what the Penguins did to the Blue Jackets.
That's what should have happened.
Yeah. I mean, they lost the one game, but they only lost that game by one goal, and they still scored four goals in that game.
And it's hard to sweep a team in hockey.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard. Harder than basketball, for sure.
But the Penguins are looking like they're firing on cylinders, and the Capitals, once again, look like they're regressing.
Exactly. The biggest surprise so far in the NHL playoffs, definitely, is the Nashville Predators upsetting the number one seed, Chicago Blackhawks. They swept them, Keith.
Yeah, I don't think anyone picked that.
Definitely not.
It almost seems like the end of an era in Chicago.
It did feel like that. I mean, Chicago was a good team in the regular season. They won 50 games, which is, you know, really good. There were only two other teams that had more wins than Chicago did in the season. And it's the first time since the NHL adopted the current format in 1994, Keith, that a number one team has been swept.
Yeah. I mean, someone made a lot of money on a prop bet. I can guarantee you that.
And they're probably Nashville Predator fans.
Yeah, they're absolutely Nashville Predator fans.
So we'll see what happens. But what's really interesting, Keith, is how crazy competitive the NHL playoffs have been so far. I mean, even just to make the playoffs, teams were having to score 94 or 95 points just to make the playoffs. That means that there were teams that had 40-plus wins that didn't make the playoffs. And a lot of those 40-win teams were like... 40 in the mid-20s as far as losses go, so significantly over the 500 mark, and these teams weren't even getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, basketball, you win 40, 42 games, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to be in the playoffs. That was not the case this year with the NHL.
No, so I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the top seeds going down. There's just the quality of teams in the NHL right now is really, really good. So, yeah, that wraps up our recap, Keith. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the NBA. A lot to talk about there. Our first sweep of the playoffs has happened, so we will talk about that for sure, plus some of the other series. All that coming up after the break. You're listening to Crossing the Line on Elevation 5280Sports.com. Unless we're on Sports.com, be right back. Give me two bucks, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up that dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie, cause homies nag me to All right, we are back on Elevation 5280Sports.com. Unless we're on Sports.com, you're listening to Cross the Line with Jesse and Keith. To remind everybody, you can find us on Twitter at 5280Keith, at 5280Jesse, and you can text the show 720-375-2341. Find previous episodes of Crossing the Line on the Audio Vault section on Elevation 5280Sports.com, as well as all the other awesome shows that we have. With that said, Keith, moving on to the NBA recap. First sweep of the playoffs.
A couple things before.
Oh, okay. You want to say that one until the end?
Say that one. We just got a couple quick things we got to catch up on. Tiger announced that he's going to be out for about 6 more months as he had another surgery on his back.
Let's hold off on that. I got some stuff on that coming up.
Okay. We'll hold off on that one. Let's go. I know you don't have this one. El Clasico.
Yeah,
Barcelona versus Real Madrid.
Although, what a freaking goal.
That was a great goal by Messi the Great. Real Madrid lost 3-2 in another great El Clasico, which moves Barcelona atop the La Liga standings, which talk about no parity. This is like either Barcelona or Real Madrid. You can put money on either one of those two to win La Liga, and that's a safe bet. Like, yes. You can do a rolling bet on that and just not worry about it.
Yeah, it's probably another... Yeah, it could be a while before that changes.
Yeah, I don't think that is going to change. I mean, Messi's not very old. Ronaldo's getting up there, but they still have Bale and a bunch of other good players. Even if Messi goes down, they have Luis Suarez of Barcelona. They have Neymar. I don't see them being not good anytime soon.
What happened if Suarez and Grayson Allen got together? Like, who would have more cheap shots?
Suarez, absolutely. Like, Suarez has bitten people on more than one occasion. So I'm going to put my money on Suarez on that one. It'd be like Grayson Allen versus Matt Barnes. Like, Suarez is a real G.
He might actually kill him.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, since we can't talk PGA, let's get to NBA.
Okay.
I can't wait to see what that's about. But yeah, we did have our first sweep. And actually, it's going to be the only sweep, I think, maybe.
Yeah,
I think so. The Blazers might pull one off, but I don't think so. But you had the Cavs sweep the Pacers, which is 4-0, naturally, because it's a sweep. But it was a highly contested series. The total winning margin for the Cavs between all four games was 16 points.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. Which, it shouldn't surprise anyone. The Pacers always play... Whether it's the Cavs or the Heat, they play LeBron James teams really well. So I wasn't surprised at all that there were close games. Not surprised that it was a sweep either. The Cavs are really the better team. The first game looked a little off as far as the defense went.
Especially in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. But as the series went on, their defense got better. I mean, they scored over 100 points in every game, but it was less and less. A lot of people worry about the Cavs. I think they're probably going to be just fine.
Especially with the amount of rest they're going to have now.
Yeah.
Did you see the Kicker article talking about LeBron buying a condo in Indiana in the middle of the paint?
No.
Because of how comfortable he was?
Sounds about right.
Said he was so comfortable living in the paint that he decided to buy a condo there.
I mean, that was right. I mean,
I know.
He really didn't shoot a lot of threes outside of game three, I think it was, and he had that
ridiculous comeback. He had a big three in the game four, too.
But that was only his third three in game four.
Yep.
I mean, really, this series is all about him just continuing to add to his ridiculous legacy.
Yep.
I mean, there's an outside chance that he could finish number one in points, rebounds, and assists all time in playoffs.
Yep.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. A legit possibility, too. I don't even think it's, like, that far-fetched.
I mean, he's going to be number one in for points by the time this postseason is over.
Right.
He's third right now for rebounds, and he's seventh for assists.
Right.
I think the one issue would be assist, but he's
going to
play for, what,
players
six,
in the top
seven more years? I don't think so.
I can't imagine who it would be.
It's not Chris Paul because they don't make it past the second round.
That's what I was going to say.
I'll have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure. Actually, I think I saw that he was number two active, so there's maybe one person above him. I don't know who that would be.
Yeah. Did Steve Nash officially retire?
Yeah, I guess.
Is he still listed as active?
But, I mean, there's a legitimate chance that he could be number one in all three of those categories. And he's even almost top 20 as far as blocks go. So, I mean, what more do you want of this man?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We'll try to see if we can pull that stat together there. Keep going down the list of playoff games there.
So next one, you got Raptors versus the Bucks, which has been a surprising series, tied 2-2. Got the next game on Monday. But in the beginning, it looked like it was going to be an embarrassment by the Bucks or the Raptors. But last two games, the Raptors have held the Bucks under 80 points in both of those games.
Kind of the opposite.
So looks like the Raptors are going to pull it off, but... It hasn't been a good look for the Raptors so far.
No. And stat check, Keith, it was the rebounds that he's seventh in.
Seventh.
Assists, he is number three, and he's the only active one in that area. And in rebounds, there is no other active players above him. Next up is Karl Malone. And then some other above folks. But he still has another 250 before he hits Karl Malone.
Yeah. So probably not this postseason.
No, and he probably won't get number one. Bill Russell has 4,100 career rebounds, and LeBron has 1,700. Well, really, almost 1,800. So that's a pretty.
Yeah, he's not gonna catch that unless he just focuses on straight rebounding in like the latter part of the postseason.
Don't even worry about points. Just stand under the net.
Yeah. Back to the Raptors series.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry has been dreadful, like, again, this postseason.
I'm not surprised. So far,
he is 20 for 50 from the floor and 6 for 24 from 3. That is, like, I just don't get how a player that's
he's a good player.
Obviously talented,
he's a good
very
player.
Good in a regular season, can be so bad in the playoffs. Like, he's not remotely good in the playoffs.
No, not even a little bit.
Let's see, next series we got Wizards and the Hawks. Wizards leave the series 2-1. Next game is Monday night as well, or tonight. What the series boils down to is the Hawks have no answer for John Wall, who's averaging over 30 in the series. I think the Hawks are going to win another game only because it's the playoffs, but
I don't.
They can't stop John Wall.
I put my note that despite them have only played three games so far in that series, that I'm surprised that the Wizards haven't won already.
Yeah, it's like really,
literally
no answer whatsoever for John Wall. It's just demolishing that team.
Yep. And if you really look at the Hawks roster, they don't have a team to compete against the Wizards.
They've got Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah,
I guess.
Good player, but not John Wall level by any means.
Another pretty much uninteresting series: Warriors versus the Blazers. Warriors lead 3-0. Next game is tonight as well. The Warriors are up 3-0, but they haven't looked.
No.
That good.
I'll tell you what, the Blazers have blown several opportunities to steal a game or two in this series.
Yeah, the Blazers could easily be up 2-1.
Yeah, they easily could. But they're not, and they're done.
No. Draymond has played great defense, but Curry and Thompson have not looked great shooting the ball. Durant has more injury concerns.
Different injury concerns.
Yeah, different injury concerns on top of knee, calf injury now.
Right.
And they don't know how long Steve Kerr is going to be out.
Yep.
Like, if he has to miss the rest of the postseason, which no one said it yet, but when he is having complications from two back surgeries that he's had.
It's not good.
That's not good, especially when you're trying to coach an NBA team.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about that later, too.
They got to figure something out, and they got to figure something out fast. You got the Spurs versus the Grizzlies, which is easily the best series in a playoff so far. It's tied 2-2 right now. Next game is Tuesday. In this series, really, it's Kawhi versus the Grizz. Kawhi Leonard has been great, but he doesn't have a whole lot of help.
No.
And the Grizzlies play great team defense. They play great team offense. And the Spurs have to have someone else step up too.
And Marc Gasol has played great.
He has.
I can't remember the last time I saw Marc Gasol really almost like take over a series, but in those two wins, and even in the two losses, he's definitely been the best player for Memphis.
Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph have been going to work on the Spurs.
Yep.
And Pop has not been happy about it. You can see if he's on the sidelines.
That was my question for you. Pop's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's always pissed to begin with, but he's definitely pissed right now.
He's really pissed. And I got to imagine Kawhi's frustrated. I mean, he scored the last, 15 points in that game?
16.
16 to close out the fourth?
Yeah.
And they didn't win. It's like, what else can this guy do? He's almost like, he's like Russell Westbrook, but with a slightly better team around him, at least.
I think.
And a far better coach. But at the same point, it's like, you know, and we talked about this, I think, like a couple months ago, Keith, was that if you really look at the Spurs roster team, like, it's not as good as you would think it is.
No. Like, they definitely benefit from great coaching. And that's not to say they don't have good players.
Now, Marcus Aldridge is good.
He's inconsistent as hell, though.
Right.
Paul Gasol is, like, 50.
Yep.
Tony Parker is, like, 80.
And Manu Ginobili is, like, 100.
Yeah. I think the Spurs are going to win just because the Spurs always beat the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, but someone's got to find another gear to kick in if they want to make a deep playoff run other than Kawhi.
And in the offseason, they really need to address this roster.
Yes, they do.
Need to bring in some more talent.
Especially point guard, because Tony Parker
is... Go ahead and get a Russell Westbrook.
About Duke. Yeah.
Just saying.
He could. The most uninteresting series, Clippers and the Jazz.
Who cares?
I mean, Clippers lead the series 2-1. As of, it was like last night. I don't remember who won a game last night. I honestly don't care either who won the game.
It doesn't matter. It's the most meaningless series in the NBA playoffs.
Gobert is hurt. Blake Griffin's hurt. Whoever wins is going to lose in the next round.
Yeah.
Like, there's really no point.
It just doesn't matter.
To even caring about that.
I feel bad for Chris Paul, though.
Yeah. Second to last, you got the Rockets versus the Thunder. Another one where you have to feel bad for the player. Rockets lead the series 3-1.
I mean, the series is over.
Yeah. The Rockets are going to win this series. But Russell Westbrook is ridiculous.
He has 3 straight triple-doubles and 1 win.
And 1 win. And, like, the most frustrating thing is, like, we talked about it on Sunday Morning Headlines, are people are legit blaming him for the reason why he lost the game, like, 2 games ago when he had a 50-point triple-double. Like, what? What are you watching?
Clearly not the same game.
I don't know what game. Like, someone legit said, well, if he was 6-for-17 and not 3-for-17, they would have won the game. Or someone else could have made 3 shots.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it is really sad. And I think what's even sadder is, like, they've had opportunities to win these games.
Yeah.
And there's literally just no help. Like, these aren't blowouts.
He's got nothing left in the fourth quarter.
No.
He's got nothing left.
He had a triple-double in the first half.
Yeah. Like, what more do you want?
Yeah, someone else needs to do something, and no one has.
Like, he can't rebound.
What happened to Ernest Kanter?
He hit that chair, and it's been over since then.
It's been over? He's been useless.
Oladipo hasn't been very good either.
Yep.
Steven Adams finally had a good game, but they're going to even have even better games if that's how it's going to be.
Yep.
The last series is the Celtics versus the Bulls.
Yep.
It's tied up now 2-2. When the Celtics did not look very good in those first 2 games, but as an indication of their season so far, they got lucky and Rondo got hurt, so they should win this series probably in 6. But they are going to struggle with whoever they play in the next round.
Yes, they are. More to come on that, but. Yeah, Jimmy Butler definitely the best player in that series, but Boston definitely the better team.
Yeah, and if you have a better team, unless your best player is someone like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, you're going to lose.
Right, exactly. All right, Keith, let's take our next break. When we come back, we'll do a little not overly complicated, and I think we got some good topics there. So all that coming up on the next side of the break. You're listening to Crossing the Line on Elevation 5280Sports.com and Last Word on Sports.com. Be right back. All right, we are back on Elevation 5280Sports.com and Last Word on Sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. Find us on Twitter at 5280Keith, at 5280Jesse. Let us know if there's any of these topics that you want to dive a little bit deeper into. More than happy to do that with you. Keith, time for some not overly complicated.
Yeah.
This is just topics that are not overly complicated.
It's
very
been a while
straightforward.
For this one, but there's a lot we got
to
cover.
We're here to bring people some common sense.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I got it. First one for me is with Steve Kerr and Durant not being healthy, the Warriors are not good enough to make the finals. Yeah. Like, if you were to tell me that Durant and Kerr are not going to be healthy for the series against Houston, I'm probably taking Houston at this point.
Yeah, like it's really not hard to understand. They gave up Festus Ezeli, Mo Spates, Bogut, Harrison Barnes, and Leandro Barbosa to get Durant. And as good as the bench has looked as of late, they don't have to play very many minutes.
No.
Like, once you start increasing their minutes against quality opponents, and you have Mike Brown coaching. As much as I love Mike Brown, he's not Steve Kerr.
No,
it's not overly complicated. They're not going to be great if Durant has injury concerns still, and Steve Kerr is not going to be on the bench.
I think the only thing that really bails them out here, as far as time goes, is that in the next round they're going to face a terrible team.
Yeah.
Either way,
which is where everyone says how stacked the West is. Not really.
Right. But once they get to that finals, the conference finals, and it'll probably be against Houston, either Houston or San Antonio, which either team, especially if it's Houston, which I think it would be, with the way Houston is, they've really impressed me, Keith, with the way that they've played so far.
Granted, they get a lot of calls.
Sure.
Like a stupid amount of calls. But Mike D'Antoni finally has the perfect players to match his system. And look how good that system looked when he was in Phoenix with Steve Nash. Like, he has Steve Nash 2.0. Like, James Harden isn't as good of a passer as Steve Nash, but he's a way better scorer than Steve Nash.
Exactly.
So that's dangerous.
So I think, and the thing with Durant, Keith, with what we just talked about a little bit in the last segment, was that it's a new injury.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a concern.
Yeah.
And at some point, like, he's going to just start breaking down. He's not going to be able to play for, like, he's not even going to be worth having on the roster the active roster, because he's not going to be able to contribute at all this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget, was a time when he and Westbrook were trading turns on who was going to be out for the season or part long stretches of the season. And let's not forget, even if he is healthy, he hasn't proven to be that clutch and, like, big spots. So even if he is healthy, you have Steph Curry, who was a known choker in the finals, Durant, who also gave up a 3-1 lead against the Warriors. So,
and
I don't think that they are as much as a favorite as everyone wants to make them.
No, and we've seen, like, Kevin Durant's a big guy.
Yeah.
We've seen what happens when big guys get lower body injuries.
His problem is he's a tall guy and he weighs like 20 pounds.
Right, exactly. So we'll see how that'll plays out, but not overly complicated there.
Yeah, not overcomplicated at all. So I'm going to go, I said NFL, I don't know why here, but clearly NBA, LeBron James's place among NBA legends.
Mm-hmm.
Not too hard to figure out. I mean, it is possible for Michael Jordan to still be the greatest basketball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron James to be the second greatest basketball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there doesn't have to be a controversy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LeBron James' accolades have shown that he is the second greatest basketball player of all time. Mm-hmm.
And still active.
He could win probably two. I don't think he's going to win three more.
No.
But he could win two more championships. And if you really think about it, that's more like six championships, because he brought a championship back to Cleveland.
The first
after
one in Cleveland
3-1.
Is worth two. It's worth two. It's worth more than any of the ones that Michael had in Chicago.
Like, I don't know why people are so, like, resistant and stubborn to giving the man the credit he deserves. Like, they are the ones that hyped him up when he came out of high school. They're the ones that crowned him the king and went along with it. What else did they expect of him?
Yep. Well, now that he's touching, you know, sacred ground, I think that's where everyone starts to put the brakes on a little bit.
I mean,
bit.
I've always considered, at least after he retired, Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player of all time, but I've never said he will always be the greatest basketball player of all time.
No one's guaranteed that title.
No one is guaranteed that title.
Yep.
There's probably a time when people said Gordie Howe would always be the greatest hockey player of all time. I didn't when Gretzky came along.
Exactly. There's always somebody coming along.
I remember people saying Pete Sampras was going to be the greatest tennis player of all time, and then Roger Federer came along.
Exactly.
Like, he's not going to be the greatest of all time forever. Maybe LeBron won't pass him, but someone will at some point.
Yep. Yep. My second one, Keith, here is about the Browns. They don't need to have two or three picks in the first 15 picks, Keith. What they need to do is trade away at least one of those picks and try to get some existing talent. And I know that they're the killer of talent. Whether it's developing talent or existing talent, they tend to kill it.
Yes.
But at the same point, having a full roster full of young guys who are a year or two into the league isn't going to help them at all. In fact, it's probably going to set them up for failure. There's no leadership. Like, you need to have at least some established veteranship on that team to lead these young guys and show them how to play the game the right way. And you're just not going to get them with keeping all your draft picks to yourself. They need to go out there and find somebody who's a veteran player. It doesn't have to be a quarterback. It could be a wide receiver. It could be a running back, whatever it is. But they need to make it happen, because the way that they're just going back and forth down to the... Like, the reason they have so many draft picks, Keith, is because they've been so terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the next 2 years in the draft, they have 11 picks in both drafts, this one and the one after. And I think it's 7 picks in the first 4 rounds, both of those years.
Right. And by the way, that's not like, yeah, that's a little more than they've had the last couple of seasons, but not by much.
No.
What, like, how many times have they had the number one pick in the last 10 years? Like, a lot.
Probably more than anyone else.
Yeah, easily. And what have they done with it? Nothing. So I think it's not overly complicated. They just need to take some of those picks, bundle them up, go get a veteran player who still has a good 3 or 4 years left, and someone that can show these young guys how to play football. And yes, maybe that doesn't equal a winning season right away, but what it does is it sets these young guys up to figure out how to win, and then maybe in 3 or 4 years they can have a winning season.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. There's a good chance that they will have Mitch Trubisky and Brent Osweiler on the same team. So they'll have two players whose names we don't want to pronounce on purpose. This would be like a sitcom, the Mike and Bob Show.
Yeah, and that's what they need to stop doing, though. They need to stop being the sitcom.
Yeah, they're just a laughingstock easily of the NFL right now.
Easily, and it's not overly complicated. They need to do something different, and doing something different would be getting rid of some of these picks they have in the first round or the first couple rounds of the draft.
My next one, I got Aaron Hernandez's suicide. It is possible to feel bad for his family, sure. For his daughter.
Sure, there are people that cared about him legitimately.
But it's also possible to not glorify him as this tragedy and victim of something awful, because he brought a lot of those things on himself. I mean, maybe he did have mental illness. I'm definitely sensitive to mental illness, but he also made $50 million. So I can't feel that bad for him. You can't really blame CTE. He didn't play football that long. He had a rough upbringing, but how many people have rough upbringings in the NFL? Probably 90% of them. Not every one of them goes out and kills someone.
Yeah. I mean, he made some really bad choices, and he's just a bad dude. I mean, he'd been convicted of killing one person. He probably killed more than one person. I think we all
He probably killed the two people he was acquitted of. It's just a jury trial, and that's the way he goes somehow. Look at OJ.
Right. And then, so you got to think, okay, if he was in the conversation for 3 people, then, like, there's more that they just don't know about, because that's how that works.
Like, I don't know
the
exact...
You never get caught for the first time in these sort of things.
I don't know the exact stats. It's probably impossible to figure something like this out. But I highly doubt there's maybe 1% of people who kill someone that only kill one person.
Right.
I would almost put money on that.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's like some accidental thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, in these kind of cases where they're gang-related... Yeah, it's never the first time.
Yeah, it's not overcomplicated. Like, you can feel bad for his family, but stop glorifying him. It's ridiculous.
He's a bad dude. He's a bad dude. For my last one, Keith, Tiger Woods. It's not overly complicated. He's done.
Yeah.
He's done. He had another back surgery. It was a fusion. And, people were like...
with his back spasms.
Right, but like, some people were like, oh, what's a fusion? It's actually a good thing. Like, stop it. It's not
I'm
a
pretty
good
sure
thing.
Tony Romo had a fusion as well.
How did that work out? Oh, good. And, like, especially in golf, like, the one thing you can't really mess with is your back. Like, you rely on your back so much in golf. It's like, for him to have another surgery. So his 2017 season is done. But I find it funny that people even think that his 2017 season is done. It never really started.
No.
Like, he played in, like, 2 tournaments, and one wasn't even, in, like, an official one.
Yeah, he made the cut only because there were 17 people in the tournament.
Right. And the cut was at 17?
And he wasn't going to make the cut in one, or did he make the cut in one? Or he was about to not make the cut, but then he pulled out because of the back issues.
Right. So it's like, it's hard to say that the season even ended. He really never started. If you really look back at it, Keith, Tiger Woods really hasn't played golf in 3 or 4 years now.
He hasn't played a major since 2015, I think they said.
Right. So it's done. Like, he just needs to walk off into the sunset at this point.
The problem is he needs to realize it's done.
Yeah. Which is going to be really hard for him.
Yeah. He's going to play another year or two and before he just gives up. But that's just the way it is.
Hey, maybe he'll listen to this show and realize that it's not overly complicated.
Highly doubt it, but yes. Love to have you on if you're listening, Tiger.
Just saying.
I got 2 more if we got time. Squeeze them in real quick. Rockies leading NOS.
Oh, well, that one's easy.
Not overly complicated. When your pitching is good and you're not having a lot of injuries, you could be a good baseball team.
funny how that works.
Yeah.
Good pitching? Yeah. I think that'll work. And it's funny, like, last season it was the opposite. It was the bats trying to bail out the pitching, and that's really hard to do because it's hard to score 10 runs every game.
Yeah.
But when it's the other way around, you know what? Even when the bats aren't working, they can generate 2, 3, 4 runs in a game.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to score 4, 6 runs than to score 10 or 12 runs.
Yeah, even if your bats aren't swinging, then you're going to win those close games. And when they are swinging, like they have been the last two games, you got blowouts.
Obliterate people is what they've been doing.
Exactly.
Last one, Russell Westbrook is MVP. Like, this should not be a very hard thing to figure out.
No.
It should be pretty easy, but it's going to be a very difficult decision for a lot of people.
Let's see. I wonder how many people have averaged a triple-double for a season and not made MVP, or better yet, people who have averaged a triple-double for a season and ended up leading the entire league in triple-doubles from an all-time standpoint for the same season, not make MVP.
There's exactly one person who's averaged a triple-double in his career for a season and not won MVP, Oscar Robertson. And it's a scary thought, but Russell Westbrook might not win MVP.
I know.
Which is just stupid to me.
Not overly complicated.
Like, he has no one on his team. He takes a lot of shots because he has to take a lot of shots. But then when he takes a lot of shots, he's a ball hog. When he doesn't take a lot of shots, he's a stat patter ball hog. What?
I mean, it's Westbrook, Harden, James, and Kawhi in that order for me.
Yeah. I'd probably go that order as well, just based on what their criteria of MVP is. Based on my criteria, I would say Westbrook, James, Kawhi, Harden. But, I mean, there's a good chance Harden is going to win it just because his team won more games.
Which would be
stupid.
Travesty.
Kind of like last year.
All right, Key, let's take our last break. When we come back, we'll get into a little quickfire questions, and we'll also touch on what's on tap for the coming week. You're listening to Crossing the Line on Elevation52ASports.com. Unless we're on Sports.com, we'll be right back. All right, we are back on Elevation52ASports.com, and last we're on Sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. Check out previous episodes of Crossing the Line on the Audio Vault section on Elevation52ASports.com, plus the lineup for all the other shows on the station. A lot of good stuff there. Keith, episode 44 for us.
44.
Getting up near that...
We're almost ready for the Stinger Tour.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we'll have to plan a pretty special celebration for 52.
We will.
I'm sure we will.
We'll do a 24-hour... No.
Yes, that would be awesome. All right, let's dive into some quick-fire questions here, Keith. I got a good one to start with for you. Since you were at the Rockies game yesterday, got to know what your favorite ballpark food is.
It's kind of related to my first one as well, but definitely sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds.
I love sunflower seeds.
Flavor?
I just like the original. I don't like the bacon or the ranch and stuff like that. Just give me regular, unhealthy, salted sunflower seeds.
There you go. What about the nasty cup that always comes with the sunflower seeds? Or do you just spit them out on the floor?
I just spit them out. Okay. I mean,
did I give you too much credit?
if I'm at home, yeah, I'll spit them in a bowl because I don't want sunflower seeds all over my house. But it makes me sound awful, but they pay people to clean that up. And my beer's not done, and I don't want to wait until my beer's done to eat sunflower seeds.
So, I mean, what you're really doing is helping the economy continue to
move
forward.
People working.
That's right. For me, it's the same problem. It's peanuts.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I leave my peanuts on the floor.
I mean, I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. There's people all around me. There's peanuts everywhere.
I do feel bad, though, at times, but I'm they're going to sweep this aisle no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, it's not they're going to look and say, okay, good. They're going to make them sweep it anyway. That's
right.
Part of their job.
And I never do it disrespectful where I leave them all over the place. They're still in a little pile under my seat.
I don't know if I can say I leave. Well, it's in front of me. But you can't really control where you spit the sunflower seeds all the time.
That's the difference. Yeah, I guess I don't spit out my peanut shells, but yeah.
So mine, interestingly enough, is because I took my sunflower seeds because I want to pay $8. I think it's interesting that they just let you take pretty much any food you want, like into like Coors Field.
Yeah.
So what is the best thing you've ever snuck into a venue?
Oh, that would definitely be liquor. The old boiling the water, the cap off the water bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always been the way to go. If you really want to even be creative with that, you can go and get one of those like those iced tea bottles, and you can put like whiskey or bourbon in there because the same color as iced tea.
Oh, I did that when I went to Dave and Buster's once when I wasn't 21.
Yeah, there you go.
I emptied out like half of the Pepsi, and then I poured the rest of the liquor. And I just went to the bathroom very often.
There you go. Liquor for that. So nothing better than sneaking in a little tequila with some fried tacos from the Mexico City. Shout out to Mexico City. good stuff there. Always appreciate it. And by the way, like, people, don't be stupid. Like, don't try to sneak in like six water bottles of like vodka or tequila.
Six
like,
water bottles in like October.
Right, exactly. Like, be reasonable about it. Like, let's not try to be stupid here.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin it for the rest of us.
One time, I did sneak a whole pizza into a movie.
A whole pizza.
Like, I almost scorched myself because I had it underneath my jacket because it was, like, winter. So I had a big coat on, was able to get it in, but it was hot.
And, like did you have to, like, hold your like the bottom of your jacket and walk a little funny? Like, I'm just trying to picture you, like, walking into a movie theater, like, trying to conceal this pizza.
Well, it's kind of like I had, like, pockets. So, like, I put my hand in my pockets and I just held it with my hands. And, like, my, like, homeboy had, like, the ticket for me. So just got it in there. Had some meat lovers.
There you go. Movie theater, though, my wife's the worst at this. She'll bring in, like, a can of something.
Yeah, like, you can't bring a can.
Psh,
and it's like, that's the worst.
And then, like, the worst part is, like, she does it while the lights are still on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
You gotta wait until, like, midway through the preview.
Exactly. She doesn't get it.
I also, like, snuck a big bag of Skittles into when I saw Wicked when I was in Chicago.
Nice.
Because that, like, theater food is more expensive than, like...
Ballpark
like,
food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they assume you can afford to go to the theater, so you can afford to pay $10 for a water.
Yeah.
My next one, Keith. Serena Williams apparently was pregnant when she won the Australian Open earlier this year.
How embarrassing is that for the rest of the field?
Like, you already weren't good enough to beat Serena Williams, even when she's pregnant.
Yeah. So, it's embarrassing.
Question, is she really Superwoman?
I don't get it. Like, she seems like she gets better as she gets older.
Right, she's, like, ageless, and apparently she wins while she's pregnant.
Yeah, like, she... I don't know how she does it. Like,
I'm going
out
on a limb and saying that she's the only woman to win the Australian Open while pregnant.
She has to be. I would almost guarantee that.
Because you have to. There's only a very short window that you could actually have that happen.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe she'll go out when she's like 6 months and still crush everyone.
She probably would. She probably would. It's just crazy. Props to Serena Williams there. It's just a great story there.
So. Speaking of good stories, before the Cavs came back to beat the Pacers in Game 3, Lance was being Lance, and he was trash-talking with LeBron.
And hashtag Lance being Lance.
Then they lost the game. So what was the worst time you've ever trash-talked and then regretted it after you lost?
Yeah, there's been a couple of those. Probably, like, even just going back to, like, recent memory with my brother, just this past couple weekends ago, we were playing basketball. I killed him in the first game, and I was like, all right, we're going to go to the second game. Not even a problem. And so, like, we were playing 21, and I had 19, he had 19. So it was coming down the last shot. And I got to my favorite spot on the court, which is, like, to the very right of the free throw line, inside the three-point line. I was wide open, took my shot, and I called game.
You didn't call bank?
No, I called game. I missed the shot. He took it back out, turns around from the corner, hits his shot, game over. Like, instantly.
So it wasn't a Paul Pierce moment?
No. It was a very...
Well, it was for him.
It was for him. It was a very long walk home after saying that. Like, if you're going to call a game, you got to be careful and you got to make sure you hit it.
Yeah, I literally wait until it's through the net and on the ground before I call a game.
I was pretty confident because I'd been hitting that shot all day. So I just... As soon as it left my hand, I was like, I call game, and then brick, right off. It was bad.
So mine was when I was like 10 years old, like, my brother and my cousins would beat the living hell out of me, like, when we were, like, play fighting and stuff. So, like, finally one time, I got the best of my cousin. We were, like, play wrestling, and I'm, like, on top of him, and, like, just going at him. Like, I don't even want to say what I said at 10 years old, but what I didn't realize is that I was choking him. So, he, not wanting to die, turned over really fast and broke my ankle.
Oh, dang. That's where...
I can't blame him because, you know, he wanted to live.
He was gonna die. That's like when instinct kicks in.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do to get the job done.
Like, my ankle was, like, horizontal when it should have been vertical.
Yeah, that's not a pretty sight.
No. I was in a walking boot for, like, 5 months.
That was the end of your basketball career.
Yeah. I mean, I still play basketball after that, but I still blame that as a reason I haven't dunked yet.
There you go.
Even though there's a billion other reasons why I haven't dunked
yet. No, that's a good one. Stick with that one. For my last one, Keith, here, the internet has been winning lately, and I want to know your favorite Twitter character or site there. You have the Kicker or Black Adam Schefter?
It's the Kicker all day long.
You think so?
The Kicker... absolutely, at least twice a week, like, just demolishes Jared Goff.
Like, the Jared Goff ones are the best.
It's like Shaq in the Fool with JaVale McGee times a million. Like, no mercy whatsoever.
Oh, and just like the photos that they get of him, too.
Yeah.
Like, they always fit the topic.
They just have, like, everything they do is quality. I don't think I've seen a bad one yet.
Yeah, I've seen a couple duplicates. That's
yeah.
Kind of my only knock against them is sometimes I'll do, but I can't blame them because the duplicates still make me laugh even on the second time.
Like the videos with Stephen A. Smith and the guy is like his closed caption guy. Like, this is the best.
Yeah. I agree. It's the Kicker, but I do like a good Black Adam Schefter in the NFL season.
Black Adam Schefter is good, especially when it comes to like his LeBron James posts.
Yep.
Like, those are pretty good.
So yeah, good stuff there. But man, I have really enjoyed being on the internet lately.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like 3 weeks.
Like, not even sports. Like,
yeah, politics,
the United Way thing.
Yep.
The thing about the Holocaust Center. like people like just like. Do something dumb, and then someone's like, hold my beer. Let me show you what I can do.
And we appreciate it.
Like, thank you very much, because I'm a lover of memes. There's been some great memes going on
around. There has been.
My last one, I just fired up the grill today after yesterday after the Rockies game.
Yep.
What is your favorite thing to cook on a grill?
Oh, good question. I think for me, it comes down to probably steak. I mean, I really like a good burger, but like, there's nothing better than a good medium steak when after you cook it just right, it's got the barbecue lines on it. You know, you got the crisscross lines on it, and then you cut into the middle of it and a little blood squirts out. That's pretty much perfect.
That sounds kind of weird as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit. There's a little like primal, like, you know, satisfaction with that, of course. But yeah, it's pretty good. There's nothing more satisfying than just putting a good steak, good quality steak on the grill and having it come out just perfect.
I like steak, but I don't cook steak very well on the grill. I don't know why. I do pan fry better. My favorite thing on the grill is thick cut pork chop.
Pork chops are good.
Like, there's a paleo recipe that we have. It's like garlic and olive oil and salt and pepper. You just let it marinate in that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Sounds really good. Hot dogs are interesting because they have to be the right kind of hot dog.
Yeah, especially with the type of grill. Like, we have the gas grill. They kind of, like, just sit in between the burners.
Exactly.
So that makes it hard to cook.
Yep. And then, yeah, there's... Vegetables are also... You can get good, like, corn on the grill. Like, if you leave it in the husk and then just cook it that way.
I haven't tried corn yet.
That's pretty dang good.
Probably the most delicious thing that I've done, but I don't think I could do it very often because it's expensive, is we did a shrimp on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
We just put it on the skewers, like, soaked it in olive oil and just cooked it that way. Like, that was delicious.
Yep. Can't go wrong with that either. All right, Keith, let's hit real quickly the What's on Tap section here, and then we'll get on out of here. Start of the second round of the NHL playoffs, we mentioned that, so stay tuned to that. I really see if Washington can flip that around. You got the NFL draft coming up.
Yes, and the Browns are going to do something really stupid.
Yep, and as I mentioned earlier yesterday, I think the Broncos should spend all 11 picks on offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, one of them...
Maybe two will be good.
You get as many offensive linemen as you can.
Yeah, why does it matter? What other position matters at this point? Nothing. 11 drafts for the offensive linemen. As we mentioned, the Rockies going up against the Nationals, Keith, in their next series. And then right after that, they got the Arizona Diamondbacks. Time to see what the Rockies are really made of, out of, and see if this is if this team's for real.
Like, even if I wasn't a budding Rockies fan, like, I just like seeing Bryce Harper lose.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just do not like him.
I like all the stuff about the Yankees.
Yeah, like how he's wearing a Yankees hat, like, in the Nationals games.
And every time that the Yankees win a game, they call him and ask if he likes that.
Yeah. Good old kicker.
Yeah, good stuff there. And then, yeah, so Rockies, good stuff there. We'll see how that all plays out. Anything else you got coming up on tap?
Just second round of the NBA playoffs. I mean, really, this is not going to get interesting until the conference finals and then the NBA finals. Like, that's... If we could just fast forward to that, that would be great.
That would be great. All right, Keith, any closing thoughts on anything?
No. Stop disrespecting LeBron.
Yeah.
We'll revisit this again in 3 months, I'm sure.
Before that. For sure. If we don't talk about LeBron James at least three more times before the playoffs are over, I'll be shocked.
It's going to happen. I can tell you that right now.
It's going to happen. Absolutely. All right, well, that does it for us today on this Monday. Hope you all enjoyed it. Catch us next week, and also catch us on Sunday for Sunday Morning Headlines with our Vegas buddy, Will Buer. Glad to get stuff there. So, until...